Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The author, artist, and designer, Douglas Copeland, was quoted in the September 2016 edition of the Reader's Digest. He said, there are three things that we cry for in life. Things that are lost, things that are found, and things that are magnificent. How true is that statement in your life? Have you ever lost something so near and dear to you that you were literally crying trying to find it? Perhaps it was a stuffed animal childhood friend or Batman or the other guy that I still can't think of the name of him. Maybe it was the letter your grandson or your granddaughter wrote to you. Or maybe you misplaced your cell phone or an important document. And so you felt so bad you about had tears coming from your eyes. Or maybe you even did have tears coming from your eyes. So many say that it will show up in the quote-unquote last place you look. But that doesn't help when you're in the process of seeking while the item or the object or the person or the animal is still lost. You can search and search and seek and sometimes not find the item for days, months, years. Sometimes you may not ever find what you were looking for. You know what it is to lose something, and so when you lose something so important or with emotional attachment, you might be literally driven to tears over its loss. Or when you find what it is that you've been looking for, do tears ever start flowing from your eyes then? Again, it could be a number of things that you deem as important. And once you have found it, you may even do what Jesus said and invite family and friends and neighbors to rejoice with you. I found what was lost. And you share your good news. Well, that is the very text for us this morning. The one where Jesus described a couple of people who lost items of great worth, found them, and then rejoiced with their friends, neighbors, and relatives. Let's take a look and see if we can find something in this passage, though, that is so magnificent it might drive us to tears. Jesus told the Pharisees and scribes this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Most of you can probably relate to this parable in one way or another. I know among the elders there have been stories about lost cows. That there have been times that they've had to go out and neighbors or friends had to go out and help a neighbor collect a cow that had escaped the pen. My mother tries really hard to keep organized, and sometimes she does it a little too much. She'll put everything away in files and cabinets and things like that, only to find that the next tax form is due and she had put it away. So she has to go through all the files and all the cabinets again until she can find that tax document that is due. A few days after his party, my nephew was working on a mega-blocked car. And as he was working to put two pieces together, they flew out of his hands, and they were of such a color that they blended in with the carpet so well, he spent several minutes trying to find those pieces. And again, that was a brand new car, one that he just got for his birthday. So he looked and he searched until he found those pieces so that his new car could be completed. Several of you can no doubt relate to those couple accounts. Granted, you may not throw a cow or a Megablocks car over your shoulders. But there was celebration by my mother, I'm sure, those times that she found those tax documents that she had lost. There was celebration by my nephew that he found the pieces he was looking for his new car. And so, too, you may also have celebrated. Now, granted, part of that may depend on your age and things like that as to how much celebration you did. But if it was important enough, you may have even invited your friends or your neighbors or your relatives to rejoice with you. I found such and such that was lost. Hopefully your family or your friends rejoice with you. Hopefully they weren't so cold as to ignore you or to overlook the joy that you had. Each of these, and you then, can relate to Copeland's quote as, at least so far as crying for things that are found. You're just so overjoyed, and sometimes you might even be driven to tears that you finally found what you were looking for. Not tears of sadness, but of joy. Yet where would there have been tears of joy if the item or person or stuffed animal or whatever it may have been had not been lost to begin with? Surely tears of joy, or at least some sadness, had to precede that. That's the way it was in the parable. It was over a lost sheep, part of the shepherd's flock and part of his income. Without that sheep, his payment would not have been the same amount. You can relate to that. Harvest is approaching. If something would happen with the weather, or if there would be a small flood or too much sun and part of the crop was lost, you would not receive the income for that part of the crop. Let's continue to look at these tears of sadness and anxiety then as we continue with the parable. Jesus continued, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost.'" Once again, tears of sadness or perhaps even anxiety. Her coin was missing. One of 10 that she had, what she needed, the money that she needed to earn her living and to buy the things that she needed. It was gone. She had to search for it because it was of so much worth. She knew what Copeland meant by tears for what is lost. That coin had a lot of value to the woman because it was part of her ability to buy what she needed. Now, some of you have heard me ask before, and this is why it took me a moment to start the sermon. I had to dig out my wallet. But why do we consider this piece of paper any more important than any other piece of paper? Why don't we rip it up or crumple it up or things like that? Because it has worth, right? Who says that this kind of piece of paper has worth? Well, the government. So we all agree that this piece of paper is worth $20 because that's what the government says and that's what we all agree it is worth. And so when we go to the store or to the market or other places and we hand this over, we will expect and it will happen that the person receiving it will take it as worth $20. That's the way it works. We have faith that it will be worth what we spend. That is true of that woman's coin. It was worth a certain amount for her because that's what her government had said. They said, that coin is worth so much and can buy so much, and everyone was in agreement. They all took that on faith, that that was the case. Now, normally I will make this example in regard to God's Word. Why do we take the Bible as a more important book than any other book? Well, because God has said that is His Word, and so we value it. But this morning, I'm taking this one step further. Why did Jesus give this parable? He talked about a sheep. He talked about a coin. But was that really what he was saying had worth? No, obviously the sheep had worth, or the shepherd would not have gone looking for it. And obviously the coin had worth, or the woman would not have gone seeking. But was Jesus getting at something a little bit deeper? Consider, how many tears do you cry when an item of yours is lost? Or when an item of yours is found? Or perhaps a cow is lost or found? Or something of similar worth or value? Now consider, how much is that item or cow worth compared to your human neighbors? Hopefully you're thinking that your human neighbor is worth more, right? Wasn't it Jesus who said that we should not worry because we human beings are worth more than the ravens or worth more than the flowers of the field? Then wouldn't it make sense for us to cry for our human neighbors? God has told us through His Word that they are lost. As I was telling the children, they're not lost in such a way that we can't see them. We can see them day to day or month to month or however often we get to see them, but they are lost in a very real spiritual sense. So how many tears have you cried for them? Or to take it as far as Jesus did, how many tears have you cried for people you know to be blatant sinners? How often have tears come down your cheeks for those in ISIS? Or for those who go on shooting sprees? Or for anyone else that you would consider blatant sinners or blatant enemies? Are they not lost in sin, as you yourself once were? Or if one of them should turn and repent, would you cry tears of joy that they had come to faith with you? Jesus said there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Will you cry tears of joy with them? Again, you had been as lost as them when you were born. It is by the mercy and grace of God that you were called through the Word of God into faith. You had been eternally lost, lost and condemned to eternal torment in hell. But by the grace of God in and through Jesus Christ, the Son of God and very God of very God, who died for you to be found, that you were indeed found. You were brought to repentance, and there was joy in heaven and before the angels of God, because you, a lost sinner, had been found. So do you think that you should grumble with the Pharisees and the scribes when those who are lost are found? Or will you, through God's Holy Spirit, rejoice that another has been found? Yes, through God's Spirit, you will go from crying tears of sorrow for their loss to tears of joy that they have been found. What is more, you and I can cry tears even now. As Copeland put it, we cry not only for those things that are lost or those things that are found, but also for things that are magnificent. How much more magnificent can it be than God sent His own only Son to die for you? That He sent His Son to find you, and that you have indeed been found. And more than that, are you the only one who has been found? Are not others found too? And will not others be found in the future? Yes, most assuredly, the Holy Spirit will continue to work through the Word and through the means so that more will come to faith. And we can cry tears of sorrow no more, but rather tears of joy. And on top of that, tears for the magnificence of God in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have been found. So again, it doesn't matter if you're a DC fan or a Marvel fan. It doesn't matter if you're a Cubs fan or a Cards fan. It doesn't matter if you're a member of ISIS or a churchgoer. We want all to be found. That is our desire along with God. God desires that all would come to faith in Christ Jesus. And so we cry tears of joy that we have been found. And we cry tears of magnificence that God continues to seek and find the lost in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.